You've heard us talk about how much we love Zencastr.
We've told you about how awesome their podcasting platform is, how easy it is to host, record, and publish Adventures in Collecting with their all-in-one web app.
Well, now they're giving you, our listeners, the opportunity to support us and the nearly 30,000 other podcasts powered by Zencastr.
That's right. Now you can invest in the podcasts you love through Zencastr's crowdfunding campaign.
For as little as $100, join a community of other investors who seek to help Zencastr and independent podcasters like us succeed.
If you're interested in investing in Zencastr, go to wefunder.com/Zencastr or click the link in our episode description below to claim your slice of the future of podcasting.
That's wefunder.com/ZENCASTR.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting.
Where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hi.
Dave, we're back.
We are.
And we are back with another guest again this week. This is another first-time guest.
Yes.
Technically. Now,
technically,
there's an asterisk here because you actually had the opportunity to interview today's guest during our first Toy Fair experience, but it never made it to the podcast. It was only on our Instagram. So
yes, it was only on Instagram.
So technically, today's guest is a first time guest.
It was a really awesome conversation that just turned into interview.
Yes,
turned into Instagram post.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I remember awkwardly, like, you guys are having, and you know, us being having never been to an event like that, you know, you were talking and I awkwardly was like, can I film this? but anyway, we're burying the lead, Dave, and that's not something I should do, right?
That is not something we do.
So, Boss Fight Studio entered the collectible scene in 2013 with a team of artists set on bringing the play back to toys, making the kind of action figures they wanted. From their Hacks line to reinvigorating iconic licenses like Bucky O'Hare, Popeye, and Flash Gordon, to now making wrestling figures in their Legends of Lucha Libre line, joining us today is one of the founding members of Boss Fight Studios and lead designer on the Legends of Lucha Libre line, art director Eric Aranha. Eric, welcome to Adventures in Collecting.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So as we were talking about off the air before we started here, we do not often find ourselves in a situation where we have two Erics with a K, you know, in the same conversation. This is a rare feat.
Yeah, it's an uncommon spelling. We actually have another Eric who works for Boss Fight, and his is spelled with a CH. So there's like two uncommon Erics.
Wow.
At Boss Fight already. So
yeah, it's like an Eric of the Von Erics almost.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, to keep things in theme.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Perfect little tie-in. But before we get into your history with toys and what's going on with Boss Fight Studio, as this is a show about collecting, the first thing we ask all of our guests, what are you currently collecting and what are some of your recent pickups?
So I kind of, my collecting is a lot smaller than it used to be. Nowadays, I'm not a completist about anything anymore. I just kind of get the things I like from certain lines. I'm currently doing a Super Sevens G.I. Joe Ultimates, which just hit, and they're just gorgeous. I do the carded Retro Joes from Hasbro that they've been doing, which isn't a lot, so that's good for me. I do for like Joe Classified, I do collect Dreadnoughts and Slaughter's Marauders, but I keep it to just those two groups, so I'm not broke. I do Marvel Legends stuff, but again, I just Captain America and Thor characters, and only pre-1993-ish era, I kind of steer clear of modern, or not that I don't like stuff after that, but that's like my heyday of Marvel Comics. I still buy the random Aquaman thing, or you know, we Katrina and I kind of we buy food related toys a lot, so we have, you know, we have toys in the kitchen on the wall, like on shelves, like really random food related things. Most of it is Gashapon stuff from Japan.
Nice.
And stuff like, because they're always doing weird little dessert things and stuff like that.
Yeah, those Gashapon pods are awesome. We got a chance to go to Anime New York last year, I should say, and they had a whole booth of just those Gashapon machines, and I'm staring at my amazing little turtle friend that I have here from those things are so cool.
They're all over Hong Kong, so whenever we go to visit the factory, we come back with just suitcases full of that stuff, because we just can't. It's so inviting and it's so much fun, and you just kind of go and start dropping coins and you're like, yay.
It takes you back.
Yeah, you can't really lose on those things. All of them are really cool. Like, even if you don't end up getting the one that you want, the thing that you end up getting is something that's the only way you're going to get it is through one of those machines. So it's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember just getting random back when I was like super young, whether it was like, you know, football or baseball helmets, or just the most random toys that came from like one of the quarter machines. So the fact that that still exists and you can still kind of live that is really cool.
Yeah.
So how did you get into, you know, the toy business and getting into designing toys?
Well, you know, I mean, the thing I always say is that I kind of tripped and fell into toy design while I was trying to break into comics. I had spent years, my college degree is in sequential art, and I I spent years trying to break into comics, and I started doing toy freelance work on the side, while, you know, to kind of keep funds coming in, and it just picked up faster and faster, and more work and more work and more work, and before you knew it, I was, you know, talking a little more seriously with Hasbro and everything, and moved up to out of New York and closer to Hasbro. So, because it was becoming clear that I was kind of groomed, I guess, to come in house, and you know, that's what eventually happened. And I'm glad, because I don't have the fight in me for comic books. It's a fight every month for every artist I know. And I don't have that fight in me.
Yeah, we have a good friend of ours that's an editor over at currently at IDW, and you know, she always tells us all the time, it's just like constantly clawing and scratching, and you know, it's not an easy industry to be in.
Nope.
As you mentioned, you know, you grew into the role that you were in at Hasbro. And, you know, I mean, most people who end up in the toy industry, I'm sure that's, you know, a target landing place for them. You know, one of the companies that they'd most want to work for. What led to kind of the founding of Boss Fight Studios?
Yeah, well, like you said, Hasbro's, you know, kind of, it's one of the brass rings. There's a few of them, like Mattel or Lego and, you know, things like that. Those are kind of the big ones. And, you know, Hasbro's the only company I ever worked for, actually, for the toy industry. Since I left Hasbro, I've done some freelance work for Bandai and Mattel and stuff like that. But actually being an employee, I only worked at Hasbro. And in 2013, the beginning of 2013, Hasbro had that massive layoff. And I was part of that along with, you know, a bunch of the other Boss Fight team. And after that layoff, we knew we all wanted to do toys still. We're all toy collectors. We're all customizers. We, you know, we're all artists. We wanted to keep doing it. And we ended up deciding that we didn't want to work for another corporation. So we started Boss Fight, and it was a big deal because, you know, we had to scrounge every penny. We had to fight, and then we did the Kickstarter, which helped get us off the ground. And the first line, you know, was big. It was a huge hit at the time. It was the biggest Kickstarter for a toy company. There's been since a few that have beaten us now, but you know, it was a huge deal, and it was a lot of product. And you know, we all worked really hard. We worked long hours, long night, late nights. And you know, it's been 10 years now. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Congratulations, yeah. By the way. That's awesome. That's true. Yeah. The 10 year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week, coming up, we're doing the Boss Fest, and we're going to be doing videos all week and revealing new stuff and talking about stuff, new product, showing new product. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff, and we're super excited about it. So
yeah, that actually kicks off. This is airing the 13th, so the 14th. Yeah, it kicks off tomorrow, right? Big day.
Yeah.
and I mean, it's so interesting, right? Like, you know, all of these smaller indie toy companies, you know, the Plunderlings, the Savage Crucibles, you know, the Animal Warriors of the Kingdom, you know, all these companies now that are using Kickstarter as kind of their launch platform. I mean, you guys literally laid the tracks for that, you know, and showed that platform is viable.
Yeah. And we you know, we know a lot of those guys, and we've talked to a lot of them and helped them out on their Kickstarter with advice and everything like that. You know, we want everyone to succeed. We did, you know, we're, and not that we don't struggle all the time. We do. We're, you know, we're a company, and we have to run it and everything. And so it's but we want everyone to succeed. We want there to be, you know, more, you know, the more creative, smaller companies that you have out there, the better the competition gets. You know, you have to up your game exponentially all the time, and they do, and we do, and everyone does, and that's great actually for the consumer. So
yeah, it's true. I mean, what's the saying, right? Yeah. Competition brings out the best in everybody. Yeah. You know, it's,
yeah, you don't want 20 years of just the WWE. You know, you need AEW, and you need MLW, and you need all that. You know, yeah. You need that other stuff out there. Otherwise, it stagnates.
Yep. And I mean, that's you know, such a great example, because look at the WWE product now versus, you know, 4 years ago. You know, pre-pandemic WWE versus post-pandemic WWE. They're effectively like two different organizations at this point. It's wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the pressure of the other, you know, the competitors coming into the market and showing that they're legitimate.
Yeah, they've had to up their game, and that's great for the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And good for the talent too, because then they all start making more, and they all start, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, the more awesome of anything that's out there, you know, it definitely gives, like, well, you know, it makes the decisions either harder or makes you, like, kind of rethink how you collect, because it's just like, well, there's this thing, but this thing's really cool, too, and I want to start looking into that. Yeah. And then you start picking up a little bit from everywhere.
Haven't we all?
Which is amazing. Yeah, I was saying before, you know, it's the usual dilemma. How do I get, you know, there's so much of everything out there that's awesome. You got to kind of figure out how to do that.
Yeah, and actually, Boss Fight, you know, is the most recent company that has actually done that to me. Where I so small tangent here before we get into the, you know, the bulk of things, but I'm a huge Popeye fan. I love Popeye. And I grabbed the Popeye figure, the Popeye Classics figure, and I was like, I'll just get Popeye. It'll be like, I'll add him to the shelf as like just Popeye. And then he showed up and I started playing with him. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get Bluto too. And then I'm looking at the pictures of the two of them. I'm like, yeah, but like now they have nobody to fight over. So I should probably get Olive. And then, you know, and now it's just, forget it. I'm hooked. I'm in and I can't get out. Damn it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your addiction.
That's likely going to be me with Fraggles too. So
the Fraggle stuff. I mean, the Popeye stuff is gorgeous. The Fraggle stuff is looking unbelievable, with just, you know, there's something so appealing and satisfying about seeing those Muppet characters sculpted with those textures and those their big open wide mouths, and they're like, it's just so appealing and so great. Like all Muppet toys are, every company that's done Muppet toys, they're always at least good. If you know, at the bottom, you know, the worst one is still good. Like, and then you have Palisades, which were perfect. So
yeah.
Yep, I still have my Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, the drum set with like the stage and Animal from Palisades.
So good. We still have a lot of ours too.
Yeah, that was a fabulous line. But yeah, damn you and your Popeye figures. But stepping away from Popeye, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. One of the big projects we saw and discussed back in 2020 at Toy Fair was Legends of Lucha Libre. So how did that land at Boss Fight?
That was so the previous Toy Fair, the Masked Republic licensing team found us and we started talking, and it sounded really cool, and you know, there's a bunch of us that are wrestling fans, and me in particular is a Lucha Libre fan, so it started to sound very good. And even, you know, not if you're not a Lucha Libre fan, you know that Lucha Libre looks cool, you know, the masks and the costumes and everything like that. So, you know, we started talking about it, and we started talking with Masked Republic, and then the first time we met with Kevin Kleinrock from Masked Republic, you know when you meet somebody and everything just clicks into place, and you know that you're going to know this person for the rest of your life. Like that's kind of how it was with Kevin. And you know, it just was one of those things. It was like, oh yeah, we need to do this, if for no other reason than we need this partnership with them. And they're such good partners, and it's been so much fun and stressful. You know, it's wrestling, it doesn't matter which company is doing it. It doesn't matter which toy company, which wrestling federation, it doesn't matter. The talent is always bouncing around and going over here and going over there and going, you know, two of the guys in our first wave of MLW aren't at MLW anymore. In fact, one of them's at WWE. Like, and you know, before we had even shown, you know, our fully painted Penta and Phoenix figure, they had gone to AEW, and Jazzwares had announced their Penta and Phoenix figure. Like, it just happened. So it all happened so fast. And so there's always going to be those outliers, and that can be stressful. But at the same time, you still get to do the figure. Like, after a certain point, you know, you're still going to put that figure out. And so yeah, it's just it is a lot of fun, and I love getting to meet a lot of the talent. I'm, like I said, I'm a wrestling fan, so it's always fun for me to be able to talk or meet them. be backstage with them, or, you know, and seeing how wrestling works backstage has been amazing.
Yeah. And you know, like you said before, even people who aren't necessarily familiar with the breadth of, you know, Lucha Libre talent that's out there, it's hard to argue, you know, if you close your eyes and think, you know, okay, what current wrestler is the most toyetic wrestler in existence? You know, you close your eyes and it's Rey Mysterio. You know, like it's the mask, it's the costumes, it's the creativity, it's all there. And Lucha Libre is so toyetic, so unbelievably toyetic. You know, and it's just been cool to watch, you know, watch some of these guys go from, you know, AAA into AEW, into NXT, into all these different brands. Like it's amazing.
And no matter what show you watch, you're exposed to Lucha Libre in some form or fashion. Like there's somebody on the roster, at least one person, multiple people in most cases, where like you're exposed to that style of wrestling, which is, you know, great, because just like we were saying before, just one thing, one style isn't going to make for an interesting watch.
Yeah.
You know, you need a little bit of everything, which, you know, is great to see. And great to see too, a lot of these wrestlers that you've, you know, kind of only heard about or you've seen on indie shows make it to, you know, worldwide television.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it was cool to, you know, kind of start to see behind the scenes and you know, meet some of the talent as you've put the line together. Has it been more exciting to work with, you know, legends like Conan or Ultimo Dragon and Vampiro, or, you know, like you said, more modern stars like Penta and Rey Fénix and Black Taurus?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I am a fan. And my favorite era of wrestling is the Monday Night Wars. And I was a big WCW mark. I was not the WWE guy. I was, and it was because of Lucha Libre and, you know, the NWO. And I just thought WCW was doing more fun stuff. And, you know, so guys like Conan and Hoovy in Vampiro and stuff like that were very cool for me to be able to meet and work with and have, you know, Vampiro's called me on the phone. You know, I shoot emails back and forth with him all the time, not even always talking about figures, like, you know, like it's this random stuff now. Like, so that's really cool. Like being able to hang out and talk to them. And a lot of them are, you know, they all kind of participate as much as they want to, which is what we want. If you're really into it, be really into it with us. If you're not, that's fine too. Like, but like, you know, like so many, none of them have been bad to work with in any way. They've all been, you know, at least fun to talk to and stuff like that. And, you know, then like Taya's amazing, and she's the only one who intimidates me, and I'm kind of scared of.
She's got a very big personality.
She does. And, but you know, Ultimo Dragon is great. Like he wants things to be right, you know, and that's awesome. That helps us, you know, like he catches like angles and stuff on the mask and everything, you know. The Pero Aguayo family has been great. And Jacob Fatu was really great. I spent a bunch of time with the MLW guys at a bunch of taping stuff and got to take photos, close-up photos of their tattoos and all that stuff. And while I was talking to them all and stuff, they were all really, you know, it's really crazy because you meet these guys and they're, you know, enormous and they're scary looking and stuff, but they're all sweethearts. Like all of them are really nice and they're all like, and you know, so many of them are so excited to get that they're getting figures, because in some cases it's the first time that some of them are getting figures. You know, in some cases it's not, like, you know, obviously, you know, Killer Cross has had a number of figures before. Hoovy has had one figure, I think, ever. The Figures Toy Company one.
Yeah.
I think was the only one. So he was pretty excited. And he, you know, he's always out there talking about it and stuff like that on his social media and stuff. So, so that's great. And, you know, so yeah, it's always really fun. And see, you know, the difference in the way some of them react to everything is always very interesting too.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases, like, you know, somebody like Vampiro, he hasn't had a figure since what was Toy Biz Marvel, you know, like.
Yeah, the Toy Biz ones.
Yeah, going way, way back.
And then the CMLL one before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, so he hasn't had a lot, and that's, and he's one of our keystones, you know, because he's Vampiro. Like, mm-hmm. He's awesome, and he's got a lot of great looks, and he's got, you know, and, yeah, so a lot of them haven't had figures in a really long time. I think Conan was kind of the same. His last figure was like in from the TNA line, I think, from Toy Biz.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. It's one of those things now where, you know, for the guys that haven't had figures before, you couldn't pick a better time to have a wrestling action figure. I mean, just with the way mm-hmm. that these things move, and, you know, the amount of deco and detail, and
yeah.
the tattoos, and the, you know, the ring gear and everything. And then, you know, somebody like a Conan or, you know, or a Vampiro, I mean, the last time they had an action figure, you know, they were what they were at the time, which was great, but now they get to yeah. kind of see proper execution. Of
and Conan has never had a figure of him wearing the mask
yeah.
from his Mexico days, from his pre WCW days. So yeah. that was really cool to be able to do. And, you know, we're like Boss Fight, we're obsessed with the details and the kind of hyper realism of the tattoos and the body sculpt and Conan's hair on his chest. Like, we're a little obsessive about that stuff. And we know we don't have to be, but it's the toys we want.
I mean, if there's one audience that appreciates that stuff, though, it's definitely the wrestling figure audience. I mean, those little yeah. details count. They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like, you think, like, oh, I just saw Taya on Impact, or I just saw Black Taurus on Impact. Like, these are, you know, now you can pick up everybody in this line, and it's what's yeah. it's company agnostic in a way, where it's just people from all over the place.
Yeah, it really is, like, you know, DC versus Marvel out there right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's everybody's on, and our line specifically, like, some of the guys we have coming out are at WWE, some of them are at AEW, some of them are on Impact or AAA or CMLL, like, they're all over the place. And so, like, our line kind of is a lot of fun because it kind of covers all of this ground.
The forbidden door doesn't exist on people's shelves. It's
No, it does not.
Permanently kicked open.
it's starting to get swinging open and back closed in real life anyway, so.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at 106 Main Street in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Level up your collection with CGC, the world leader in pop culture collectibles grading. CGC recently launched its video games division with experienced, knowledgeable, and passionate graders to help you maximize your value on all the games you love. Ready to give your games an extra life? Submit today at cgcgrading.com. That's cgcgrading.com.
This is a public service announcement. Manscaped now has beard products and is going even further with their brand new Weed Whacker 2.0.
Go ahead and tell the world. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming are traveling north of your South Pole with their revolutionary grooming products. The new Weed Whacker 2.0 and their new beard line confirms they have all the best tools for your hygiene toolbox.
It is time for you to upgrade your game. Go to manscaped.com and use our code AIC to save 20% off and get free shipping.
The brand new Weed Whacker 2.0 offers improved blades and skin-safe technology with a no-tugging guarantee. It's never been so painless to mind your manholes.
And now that you have your face looking great with the Beard Hedger, you have to try Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0 for the full body grooming experience. And this just in, the Performance Package 4.0 now comes with the Weed Whacker 2.0 and all of the other below-the-waist grooming products that Manscaped is known for.
We love the full suite of grooming tools from Manscaped. It's never been easier to take care of our hair. What are you waiting for? Save on Manscaped today.
That's right. Get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code AIC. Always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
And now back to the show.
Now, we mentioned all of these great wrestlers that are coming out. We've seen two waves of the premium line and one wave of Fanaticos in hand, with a second on the way. What's next for both lines?
The next wave of Fanaticos were already at the tooling stage. We're working on packaging. We're working on deco with the factory. And that's, you know, of course, that's Black Tarus and Vampiro, Hijo del Perro Agallo, and Ultimo Dragon. We're really excited about getting those guys out, especially the, you know, guys like Ultimo Dragon, and hasn't had a whole lot of figures, certainly not like mass release type figures. And Hijo del Perro Agallo has been, that's great to get him out there. And I think Black Tarus might be the most toyetic wrestler in the world right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
For real. People are going to buy him and put them with like their Mythic Legions collection.
Yeah, or their, you know, their Marvel Legends, their D&D stuff. Yeah. Like, that's just going to be a...
He could tear it up anywhere.
So, yeah, you know, we're... You know, so that's a lot of fun. We're not ready to announce the next wave yet, but the next wave is going to make people pretty happy, I think. It's got a great legend in it, a maestro, and it's got three others that I think will make people really happy, the modern wrestling fan, both in Mexico and the U.S. So we're really, really excited to... when we're able to announce the next wave. And then, you know, premium wave three, we've announced, and it's, Taya, a super articulated Taya with, you know, she's got the extra head, and she's wearing the AAA Invades America costume from the AAA versus Impact, a couple of years back in New York. Laredo Kid, in his awesome, Triple Mania gear with the giant wings that he entrance gear. Tenaya Bliss Jr., and he's, you know, super tall. He's got that classic mask and everything. And WSX era Vampiro with the WSX title belt. So,
all right,
that's awesome.
Yeah, Ghoul Vampiro. He's got the braids and the ghoul makeup and everything. So real excited to get that one out.
And getting Wrestling Society X out there too.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of fun. And you know, we have so much stuff coming up, including some stuff that's like I mentioned, my favorite era. We've got some stuff coming from my favorite era of wrestling, so I think people will be really happy about that.
So just to plug Boss Fest again, you know, will we see any updates for these lines during the Boss Fest announcements, or?
So I'm going to plug something else here, because at the end of the month, beginning of April, Boss Fight will be at WrestleCon in LA the weekend of WrestleMania. And so because of that, though, we are saving Lucha Libre and MLW announcements until WrestleCon, because we need some stuff to show at the booth and announce there. But we will have some big announcements then. So, a lot of our Lucha Libre Legends and MLW talk will be a little slim next week. But we do have plans to show some new stuff at WrestleCon. So
looking forward to it.
Very much so.
So speaking of things that are on the way, a ring is on the way with the accessories drawer and some accessory sets. Are there plans for any more like that? Any additional accessory sets or additions for the ring?
Actually we're working in sculpt phase for the accessory sets wave 2. And they're going to be very popular, I think. They're a lot of fun, and possibly stuff that some more professional toy companies would probably say, maybe we shouldn't do that, but we're a little bit more on the side of, yeah, let's do that.
Well, I mean, you were bold enough to put light tubes in the first one, so I think yeah. we could make some
and barbed wire, yeah,
barbed wire, and other companies will do the barbed wire and stuff like that. I think people would do this. It's just one of the sets is a little iffy.
We'll say pushes the boundaries.
Yeah, that's all. It's not the PG era of WWE. It's probably the hardcore era of episodes of Lucha Underground.
All right.
But yeah, so we're really excited about that, and you know, with the ring is a lot of fun, and I've always, you know, the toy designer in me is always thought that the all that wasted space in a underneath a ring,
yeah,
was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So that was the real push for the drawer. Of course, that did double our tooling for a ring, which is you know, raised our price, but I'm still really proud of it, and we got it down to a decent price, I think. So
that's why all that space is there.
Yes. Basically, we tooled one ring and then one slightly smaller ring worth of plastic that goes inside of it. So
no wasted space.
Yeah, that's the goal. Also, you know, as you know, all collectors know this, we have bins and bins of pieces and parts, and mm-hmm. all, you know, every figure comes with extra heads and hands and stuff like that now. And you can't put all of it on display.
Correct.
and if it's, you know, somebody, if it's a kid who's playing, now they can put stuff under the ring, like in,
yeah,
yes,
yeah, or take everything on the go. I mean, that's what I would have done with it.
It's absolutely brilliant. Like it's one of those things where it's like, how did this never happen before now?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because at one point I was trying to figure out how to make it fold up into a carry case, but because of the ropes, it's a big problem. Without taking it apart each time, and that's not the point to a carry case, so mm-hmm. supposed to be fast, so that it ended up becoming a storage drawer instead.
So speaking of awesome things, we mentioned this partnership before. Major League Wrestling was announced recently. How did this pairing come between MLW and Boss Fight?
Well, you know, the main marketing guy at Mass Republic also works for MLW, so the introductions were made and we started talking. And again, you know, Court and Jared are fantastic people to talk to and brainstorm with and talk, you know, and kind of get to know. And yeah, it, we all kind of clicked and it seemed easy. It seemed, you know, there's crossover between the two lines. You know, Taya is the featherweight champion at MLW right now, and Penta and Phoenix have previously been tag team champions over at MLW. So, you know, it just kind of, there's a lot of crossover we can do, and there's a lot of course, in wrestling toy world, is a lot of tooling sharing that we can do, which is important for cost. You know, for me, getting out belts has been one of my, you know, we don't have belts really available to us at Legends Lucha Libre. Like, we can't do AAA belts, we can't do CMLL belts, we, you know, the WSX belt is a kind of a outlier that we can do that one. So that's why we rushed the belt set for MLW. Also, they have great belt designs, which helps a lot. Like, they're really cool looking, and
yeah,
and with the weight classes, like, and everything like that, it's a unique kind of, you know, yeah, it's a unique belt styling for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I don't remember. I know Mattel has done a number of belt sets, which are awesome. And I'm always, I mean, I just bought that new Rey Mysterio figure mainly because he comes with the WCW mm-hmm. Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
Like, also, he's like my favorite wrestler in the world. But like, you know, there's, so it's like, it's just one of those things, like, you know, I know fans buy figures just for belts and stuff like that. And we do have a number of figures coming with belts as well. But we wanted to get the set out right away of the belts because it's such an important part of the play with wrestling. So,
yeah, it's you're absolutely dead on. I mean, there are people out there that are just like belt collectors too, like yeah. just mm-hmm. Belt guys, as it were, right? but yeah, it's awesome to see again yet another wrestling brand kind of come into the fray and, you know, continue to kind of grow the fig fed at in everyone's mm-hmm. houses. So with you know, with MLW, you know, we've seen Wave One. It's up for pre-order. What are the plans past that belt set and Wave One?
So we have the next wave is moving into Deco, and the next wave is actually going to be called Fusion. So it's not a premium wave. It's similar to our Fanaticos for Legends of Lucha Libre. So it's the lower price point. They don't have the extra hands and heads and accessories and stuff like that. But the four figures in that, I think people are going to be really happy with. Again, not ready to announce them, but and then the next wave of premium is already moving forward as well. And that has some truly great talent guys in it. Like, I mean, all of them are so good. And one of the things that's great about MLW is they have a huge like variance of styles, of builds, of, you know, they have big guys, they've got, you know, giant muscular guys, they've got little dudes, they've got, you know, I mean, it's just, it's such a like myriad visual. If you get to go see an MLW local show somewhere, you really should, because it's crazy fun. And I've over the past couple of years, I've become a big fan of the smaller shows. Even like local shows, I love going and seeing kind of that raw, no filters, no gimbal cams, no, like, I really enjoy kind of seeing that stuff.
Yeah, we're very lucky here in New Jersey. We have a an array of local, you know, wrestling mm-hmm. organizations to go see. Yeah. Dave, you went to GCW not too long ago, which was right. Oh, or was nice. That already? It's probably already almost a year ago, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was a year ago. That was Hammerstein. That was a year
time.
Ago.
It it passes.
mm-hmm. You guys are probably close enough to Philly that I know MLW is often in the old ECW arena.
Yeah,
we have to make a trip down for that. It's not far from mm-hmm. us. Yeah,
and they have a bar, a really nice bar in that building. So.
That's always good.
That's always nice.
And on top of that, MLW is carrying on the legacy of Lucha Underground too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Azteca show is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they have so many, you know, so many people over there now from Lucha Underground. Now Morrison's over there. I'm sorry, Johnny Fusion. And
yeah,
it's impossible not to call him that. It's impossible.
No. Yeah. It's Johnny Nitro. He'll always be Johnny Nitro to me.
All right, so our next section takes us into our follower Q&A. So if this is the first time you're listening to Adventures in Collecting, welcome. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Make sure you're following us on social media at AIC_podcast, because when we have a guest on, we will post and give our followers a chance to submit questions for this very section here on the show. So, Eric, are you ready to take some questions from our followers?
Yeah.
Dave, would you like to do the first one?
Yes, I would love to. At Snuffy Smith Guy asks, will there be a second wave of King Features Sunday morning comic figures?
Maybe. We're not sure yet. I know we've been talking about it and stuff. The Sunday to Morning Comics line is not mine. That's Andrew Franks who manages that line. But it is something that we, you know, everybody at the company was very excited about and stuff. I mentioned earlier that I went to school for comics. And yeah, I was trying to break into the comic book, you know, adventure comics type stuff, Marvel, DC and all that stuff. But my introduction as a kid to comics was three strip comedy comics, like newspaper stuff, you know, Garfield, Peanuts, all that stuff, Curtis and stuff. And that, so we were really excited to get that. And so, some of that stuff has never had any product in any way, like Curtis and, you know, there's maybe been some figurines for like Hallmark and stuff like that, but never like these. And so, you know, we were really excited to get that stuff out there. So we're big fans. We're really hoping to get a second wave out soon. But yeah, we don't for sure, but we're hoping to.
All right. Our next question comes from at TheBerg511, who asks, what vintage character would be your dream license to work on?
So this is I struggle with this because there's a lot I would love to work on.
Well, maybe give us a few then.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of it I have worked on, you know, I've worked on Star Wars and G.I. Joe and Transformers and stuff. But for me, my first love for the fiction fictional worlds is the DC universe. I would love to do a line of the DCU, specifically pre what I call the dark age of comics, before that, you know, Bronze Age stuff, Silver Age stuff, that's really my cup of tea. And, but yeah, especially though, the Green Lantern Corps, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, like all that stuff, Teen Titans, like all that stuff is so close to my heart. I would really love to do that someday.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Everybody has a slice of something now.
Yep. Yeah.
I think we're the only company not doing Turtles.
I was so. Just about to say, when so when do the Ninja Turtles drop?
Yeah.
When do the
Not that we don't love the Turtles, we do, but
hey, listen, I'm sure at this point if you guys picked up the phone and called, they were sure you can make some Turtles. Everybody's making Turtles.
I don't personally collect Turtles, but I get to walk into Andrew's office, and I think he has every turtle thing ever made, so I get to play with his turtles.
Yeah, and a whole new world of turtles is about to be unleashed with the new movie coming. Oh yeah, so
the new show, the new
Dave, next question.
Yeah, sure. So at Johnny_C_Dagger asks, with the release of Cerozoic Warriors, will Boss Fight Studio be exploring original IP in other genres?
Short answer is going to be yes. The long answer is Cerozoic Warriors is doing amazing. It's our pre-sales have been fantastic, and it's just such a gorgeous and wonderful line to look at. There's bright colors. There's funny kind of things going on in the designs, and they're just a lot of fun and kind of goofy. There's kind of this spirit of kind of like not being so taken so seriously, which is really hard to do sometimes. Like, because even I love lightweight stuff and everything like that, but when I get working and dig back into Vitruvian Hacks, Vitruvian Hex gets a little dark with the bios and stuff like that. It's hard not to be like there's fantasy things and skull heads and eyeballs and all sorts of crazy stuff going on and gorgons and, you know, like, so it's hard not to be dark. So it's fun that we have a line that's ours and it's like these bright colors and it's this kind of fun story and everything. And that again, that's all Andrew Franks. That's his wheelhouse, is to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, when we can, we're hoping to do some new IP, that's original IP stuff. That's ours. Again, that said, it takes a long time to settle on what we're going to do and how we're going to handle it, because you need to fit in with kind of the zeitgeist of the age, and you need to do something original and fun or put your own twist on something, which is what we, you know, we're always trying to do that when we're doing Vitruvian Hacks, is put our own kind of twist on a well-known concept. So it's new, but it's also familiar. But when you're creating something completely new, like Cerozoic Warriors, you got to be even more careful than that, because you're almost, other than them being dinosaurs and having guns and knives, like, you know, there's other lines that look like that have that part of it. But then, you know, we kind of have to push past that into a different realm, which is, you know, why you see the colors and why the weapons and everything are kind of, they're designed very differently. It's not like these guys just have like an M16. They've got something that's a little more goofy and fun and chunky. And
yeah, it's just, it's really cool to kind of see those come to life, you know, cause like you mentioned with like Vitruvian Hacks, you have this base now, like you have a effectively that line has turned into a platform, and like, there's already this kind of like established world to kind of play in.
Yeah.
So anytime we see any sort of original IP coming in, especially now where, you know, we've said it a million times on the show, but like anything can become a toy, you know, like if they can sell toys from The Office, they can pretty much sell toys from anything, you know, like as much as we both love The Office, it's not a very toyetic show. It's just, you know, you love the characters, and, you know, collecting culture and, you know, collectibles culture is very much so driven to like things we already know and kind of hold dear, and seeing them become toys. So it's always, you know, we love and are fascinated with, you know, original IPs breaking into, you know, the community in this given, you know, time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if you think about it, all those things that we grew up on, like the story was being told at that time, like it was a new story.
Yeah.
So you know, it's cool to see it almost come around full circle where it's like there's this new story being told with these new characters, and it's not the thing that you know already or are familiar with, but it has something that hits you in that nostalgic
familiar element.
Like it, yeah, it's got that element to it.
All right. Well, that takes us through our Q&A section. So thank you to everybody who submitted questions, and shouts to those who got featured in this section. Eric, you survived the Adventures in Collecting Q&A round.
Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for the questions.
So before we close out and let you go, Dave, would you like to fulfill your role as this podcast's James Lipton and ask Eric our final question?
Why, yes, I would. The final question that we ask all of our guests: what is your favorite and or strangest piece in your collection? It can be one of each, or it can be both.
Strangest is probably my party pants, which... there's a story, a Hasbro story that goes along with the party pants, the legend of party pants.
Okay.
Which had become my nickname at Hasbro for a while was party pants because of this. And, I was doing an exclusive set for Target for Captain America, the First Avenger.
Okay.
And I decided it would be funny to put, because I had to repaint the figures, the existing figures for this pack. Like I didn't have a tooling budget. So it was just deco, and I could mess with the deco of the movie Captain America. And I thought it would be funny to put Captain America in camouflage red, white, and blue pants. And the pattern I chose to mimic the camouflage after was that desert camouflage that the military uses, that's called like chocolate chip, basically, because it's got little dots different browns. And but I turned it all red, white, and blue because he's Captain America, and that's funny.
And is
it rules.
And the paint sample, the painter who painted the figure for us, he mimicked the pattern so perfectly that it had these little dots of red and then these big splotches of red and big splotches of blue over white pants, basically. And it looked like confetti. And I was like, oh my God, no, we have to remove the red from the camo. So by the time the figure came out, it was just blue and white camo. So it looked a lot more toned down, but the painter, because everybody thought it was so funny, the painter, when he repainted the pit figure, he didn't paint over those legs. He kept the legs and painted a new set of legs and then gave me the legs. So on my desk, I still have that.
Just the leg.
Just the legs of Captain America with this red, white, and blue camo pattern on it.
So one could say that you have America's ass in party pants.
I do have America's ass. And then the rarest or my favorite, I don't know which one this is now. I have a G.I. Joe tin wind up Jeep from the 1940s.
Wow.
And really it was cool. My father's. And it's not very rusty. It still works. And it's in my collection. And that's just this like one random kind of thing I have. And you know, my favorite toy line of all time is probably G.I. Joe. Like, and yeah, so it's a very cool piece for me to own.
That's really cool.
And it's before G.I. Joe was a brand. It was just a term for military guy, but this is one of the first toys that ever had the words G.I. Joe on it. Like, and it just says on the back, it's like G.I. Joe Jeep or something like that.
That's super cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I am today years old. I didn't realize that there were pre Hasbro G.I. Joe. Like, I didn't realize that was a term that was used on just kind of military toys.
Well, it wasn't really. It was a term for people in the military. They called them all G.I. Joes.
Oh wow!
Like in the 30s and 40s and stuff like that. That's just what they called. Like, hey, that's a G.I. Joe.
Got it.
Like, that was just a...
Interesting.
General issue man, and the most common name was Joe, so...
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show. This was awesome. Thank you for all the insights and stories. Before we say good evening, let our listeners know where can they find out more about Boss Fight Studios on the internet. Where can they find you?
Boss Fight, where, you know, our social media is Boss Fight Studio on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our store is bossfightshop.com, and you know, Boss Fest is all next week, and it's all this week, and it's going to be, you know, on all of our social media. And you know, hey, WrestleCon in LA, WrestleMania weekend, come see us. Maybe meet some wrestlers and some luchadors and luchadoras there. We'll have some parading through, I think. And you know, get your figures signed. And you know, if you want to follow me personally, like, I'm not that interesting, but I'm just Eric Aranya on Facebook, I think, is the only thing I'm on nowadays. So,
well, awesome. And, you know, we'll make sure we put links to all of the things that Eric just mentioned in the show notes. So, you know, head over there, click away, browse the shop, browse the Instagram feed and everything. And also stay tuned here, because, you know, we'll make sure that we have everything covered, you know, coming up from, you know, from Boss Fest. Eric, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And anytime you want me back, I'll come on.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric.
Dave, send us home.
Now you can put stuff under your ring, too.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.